Well, there you go. That's not a bird singing in Irish meadow. It is, in fact, a pygmy shrew, one of our smallest mammals. The reason why I'm talking about the pygmy shrew this morning is because I had an encounter with one over the weekend. A three-day saga in my house. I saw a brown little furry creature with a long enough tail running around the place on Friday afternoon. Of course, I'd left the door open, or Friday evening, I should say, I'd left the door open. In he trotted to take a look at my house. I ran down the hall trying to get him out. I figured that it wasn't one of our other furry little friends, thankfully. I figured it was a shrew because I'd seen them before in and around the fields around the house. And I said, I'll have to do something about this. But of course, I lost track and I lost sight. To fill in the rest of the story and to tell us about the pygmy shrew, our smallest mammal, and the fact that our native pygmy shrew, our native shrew indeed, is under pressure. I'm joined in line by a man who knows an awful lot about shrews, Dr. Alan McDevitt, lecturer in global ecology and conservation at the University of Salford formerly, but going to be the Atlantic Technological University very shortly. Alan, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the programme.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me on.
So I had a three-day battle. I couldn't find the shrew. Then I was sitting, believe it or not, in my bathroom the next day, doing my business, and all of a sudden, the shrew darts out from under the sink. Cue more saga, and climbed in behind the bat. I thought, that's the end of him. No, he's going to die in there, and I won't be able to get access to him. But thankfully, in the end, I luckily came across him Sunday evening. I wrapped him up in a towel, brought him outside, and sent him on his happy way. Tell me, Alan, about the shrew. And does this happen often? Do shrews enter people's homes?
For actually the pygmy shrew, it does happen, not as frequently as would happen for other small mammals, for instance, but certainly this time of year is when the kind of juveniles who've been kind of born around late spring would start to be dispersing away from where they were born into new territories and things like this. So you might around this time of year find them a little bit more in houses. I have to say it's quite impressive being able to catch it with a towel, because they're a mammal which is actually a little bit challenging to catch a lot of the time because of their size. So certainly you would get them indoors a little bit. You know, they're insectivores, and it's obviously lots of spiders and stuff like this for them to eat inside as well. Hopefully not too many.
So they're not afraid.
But yeah,
of coming,
not unusual.
They're not afraid of coming inside. They're not afraid of humans. They're just looking for food, I suppose.
Yeah, well, to be honest, they would be a little bit more shy of people than, like, say, mice and voles and things like this. But if, you know, if they do end up being inside and you have enough places for them to, you know, to kind of hide around, I assume if it's, you know, out near the country, they would come in. Yeah, it's a little bit more unusual than some other species, but not unheard of yet.
Yeah, how long have they been here? Our native shrew, Alan?
A little bit of a controversial topic, but we certainly know that they've been here for at least 5,000 years, but it potentially could be more. The theory at the minute is potentially that they were brought over by early Neolithic settlers about 5,000 years ago, accidentally. But there's other theories out there that they might have been actually here longer, but certainly long enough to be considered a kind of native mammal.
Okay, all right. And that's when they do most of their operations. The pygmy shrew, it's our native one. It's under pressure. And I didn't realise this until I did a bit of research into the shrew following my experience at the weekend. But is it a white-toothed, long-claw shrew that's colonising the country and out-competing our own native?
Yes, so in 2007, a new shrew, which is called the greater white-toothed shrew, was discovered around Tipperary in the bird pellets of kestrels and owls at the time. And what we found, since we've been researching this for quite a long time, is that they've spread out really, really rapidly. They're in probably 8 or 9 counties now. And what we're finding is that where they are and where they become established, they are outcompeting the native pygmy shrew, so much so that the pygmy shrew has actually vanished completely from where the invasive greater white-toothed shrew actually is. And we think this is happening through diet, because the invasive greater white-toothed shrew is about 3 times bigger, can eat a lot more. They're more densely populated as well. So basically we just see, okay, even after a year of coming into contact with one another, the pygmy shrew seems to disappear quite quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've had, it's similar to the concerns about the grey squirrel and the red squirrel. I marched across the country to try and take over the whole country, just out competing the more native ones, which is a pity, Alan, in terms of protecting it. How important is the pygmy shrew to our biodiversity, our cycle of life, shall we say, for other animals?
Yeah, because anything within the undergrowth, we tend sometimes to underestimate how important they are, because this is a predator of invertebrates, potentially pest invertebrates as well, and they also can form an important component of the diet to larger mammals and birds of prey as well. So we're only really at the beginning, potentially, of trying to understand just how much this new invasive shrew is going to disrupt the kind of ecosystem within Ireland, amongst the hedgerows, if you like.
Yeah, they have another competitor, well, I suppose another predator as well. They have obviously barn owls and other birds as well, which is all fine and well, but the household cat doesn't do them any favours either, Alan, does it?
Yeah, and the household cat actually, yeah, well, a lot of the time kill them, but not eat them, because they are known to be quite distasteful. They kind of have a smell, and they will certainly bring them to houses, but a lot of the time just leave them there. One of the things the greater white to the shrew is more infamous for has been even worse in terms of its smell, like so bad that we can smell it quite clearly. And the problem is we're dealing with some people have been giving us information as well, is that they're sometimes informally known as the house shrew, this invasive one, and that they will come into your house, and because they are live in communal nests together, the pygmy shrew is a more solitary, territorial animal. The invasive one can come into the house and kind of stay there and set up nests, and the males in particular during the breeding season smell absolutely awful.
Oh my God.
You will know if you have one, basically. But just to make it clear, the pygmy shrew is a protected species, and you did the right thing by catching it and put it outside. But the invasive greater white to the shrew, if there is an issue with that, you're allowed for pest control to deal with that, because it's an invasive species.
Yeah. Yeah, a listener says, I have two cats. They keep bringing pygmy shrews to the door. I've rescued a few.
Yes, and we hear about this a lot, yes, because cats like playing with them and stuff as well. So I would say, if at all possible, try and keep cats indoors as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, and please God, the long-toothed shrew stays west of the Shannon, Alan, and stays out of Kerry.
Yeah, well, at the minute, it is spreading rapidly, but you will have some of these kind of natural barriers, yes, which will probably hold off the tide for a while, but we are starting to see where it's kind of jumping in its distribution rate, the invasive species, that, it is one which is a bit more associated with humans, so could, move around with, horticultural products, things like this, so it probably, in all likelihood, will make it there eventually, unfortunately.
Okay. All right, Alan, listen, thanks for taking time to talk to us this morning. It's a fascinating subject, and thanks for filling us in on the life of the pygmy shrew. That's Dr. Alan McDevitt there on the line. If you have a view on what he had to say, if you've your own encounters, tell me your stories. More on the way.